From CNN's Abby Phillip comes her debut book, A Dream Deferred, Jesse Jackson and the Fight for Black Political Power, a triumphant new look at Jesse Jackson's presidential campaigns of the 1980s and how they changed American politics. Available now wherever books are sold.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Hey everyone, continuing this week along with the Cryptids of the Corn, they are still here in studio recording a members-only episode for my listeners. I'm very excited about this one and I hope you enjoy it. Let's get to the Cryptids of the Corn boys, Jay and Justin, right now.
Welcome back to the Confessionals Podcast. We are your guest host here today, filling in for Tony. I'm Jay.
And I'm the great and powerful Mr. E.
And we are Cryptids of the Corn Podcast, where magical and scientific thinking combine.
And this is our second year in a row, taking over the Confessionals for a week for Christmas for Tony to get a much-deserved break with his family. And we all love Tony. So he does. He deserves this. And we do appreciate him letting us do this because it's really fun. And we're in the studio this year.
Yeah, this is fun.
Brand new. He just updated the studio and brand new stuff. And it looks amazing. It really does. It's gorgeous with all the cameras.
Cameras.
For anybody watching, I just looked.
Oh, I christened the bathroom.
The members only. So
yeah, there we go.
What are we going to talk about today?
I think we're going to talk about something that we both have at home.
Yes, technically.
Giant turtles. Kind of. Well, we have
tortoises are turtles.
Right.
Turtles.
Tortoises are turtles. Turtles aren't tortoises. Right?
So all tortoises are turtles. Right. Not all turtles are tortoises.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's clearer. Okay. Makes sense. So just there's a fun fact for today.
Yeah. So we got several giant turtle legends. We're going to talk about cryptids, true cryptids. And then we're going to get into some science about what these things could be. The first one we're going to talk about is our episode 3 on our podcast ever.
Crypts of the Corn?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The Beast of Cherubasco.
Old friend.
And it was our first hate emails we ever got because I mispronounced Cherubasco or Cherubusca. It's like caboose.
Cherubusco?
Yeah. Okay. And I always say it Cherubasco like Bosco sticks.
Like I was thinking the Bosco syrup.
There you go. So now I've doubled down over these years and it's going to be Bosco forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, remember. Cribs of Corn just came out with a book, Living UFOs, The Ocean Above Our Heads, A Study of Atmospheric Biology. You can get it at cribsofcorn.com under the books tab. If you like it, get it. Tony has one. This is Joel's copy.
That's like the fastest I ever heard you talk.
Yeah, well, I'm still jacked up. I just ate for the first time in like 30 hours.
Yeah. Well, you can talk faster and you can read, that's for sure.
100%. So the small town of Cherubasco, Indiana, located about 15 miles north of Fort Wayne. So it's right by where we live.
Yeah, it is.
Became an official town in 1847, and are currently boast a population of roughly 1,800 people. For nearly 60 years, it's been the home of the legendary Beast of Bosco. So, the Beast of Bosco is a giant turtle, but the real monster in Cherubasco, Indiana, was a man.
Most monsters are men. Are human.
Old white men. Despite their fearsome name, a quick jaunt around Cherubasco was soon revealed the Beast of Bosco was actually a giant turtle. He wasn't your average run-of-the-mill turtle, obviously. Reports claim the Beast of Bosco's shell was so big that the top of a car. So big, big shell, like 5.5 foot across. Mm-hmm. The size of the neck was a stovepipe, and the head was the size of a child.
That's pretty big.
It's a big turtle. And you don't know anything about like alligator snapping turtles, for example. They could bite through your leg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got a strong bite. The Beast of Bosco legend began on July of 1948 when two men from Cherubasco, Oral Blue and Charlie Wilson, went fishing in Folk Lake on the property of Gail Harris. Everybody remember good old Gail?
Mm-hmm.
When the two were done, they told Harris about the giant turtle they had seen in the lake. Based on the conversation of Oral Blue, the Cherubasco resident, the turtle expert, Rusty Reed, determined the original report to be a hoax. I don't agree with it. So basically, in the first few days of March of 1949, Harris claimed to have seen the giant turtle again. And this time, he was persuaded by some townsfolk to try to capture the beast. So Harris owns this lake. So this Folk Lake is on his private property. Harris owns it. He was letting locals fish it and all that stuff. First couple of them start saying that they seen an absolutely massive turtle in it. A couple of them kind of like, yeah, you should catch it and put it on display. And I mean, what do you think about that so far?
I mean, that'd be kind of cool, but I mean, just leave the turtle alone.
Leave the turtle alone. It's a turtle.
Exactly.
But is it just a turtle? I just love this story. According to the newspaper, Harris just did that and tried. A trap with stakes and chicken wire were designed. It was 10 feet in the water. So basically, what had happened is there's turtle traps that are these big wire like tubes that have a little layer like lever in them. And he designed a supersized one.
Right.
With chicken wire. And he put a whole bunch of chicken in it. And he invited several townspeople to come out and witness this event. And when they started, so he put all this stuff in. There are a whole bunch of people out there watching. And this giant turtle crawls right in. It works perfectly. Crawls right in the cage. Is in there eating this chicken because a bunch of local ladies have been feeding him chicken. Then they go and Harris tries to grab the cage and pull it in. The turtle watches, sees it, freaks out, and just rips through the side of the cage like it's paper and gets out.
Well, turtles are extremely strong.
Yes.
And I didn't realize how strong... Until my Salcata tortoise at home. Now she's getting a little bit bigger. She's almost the size of like
she's about 10 pounds.
Yeah. I was just like an NFL football. She's about that size, maybe a little bit.
Probably weighs about 10 pounds.
But she's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. And I just didn't realize that because, I mean, it's not that big. Her legs are only so big, but it's all muscle.
So how do you think Harris took the failure? Do you think he took it in stride? Do you think he...
Oh, I'm sure he just wiped his hands, you know, said, I tried, I'm going home.
Yeah. On March 7th, the Columbus City newspaper reporter in the search of the beast, the next few days, reports from Fort Wayne showed up, including a young reporter from the United States International Press who sent the story across the wire. The timing of the story could not be more perfect. When America or the American, with America between wars, people were ready for a happy story.
Mm-hmm.
So on March 9th, papers across the nation ran the reports of this giant friendly turtle. Didn't do anything to anybody.
Right.
Giant. This was a really big turtle.
Let's remember that. Giant friendly turtle. That's important.
The Fort Wayne newspaper, who intent on poking fun at the story, jokingly named the creature Oscar. So before Harris owned the lake, a man named Oscar owned the lake and the property. Oscar knew about the giant turtle. He loved the giant turtle and had it for 40 years before Harris owned it. Nothing ever happened. People swam in the lake. People fished in the lake. People fed the big turtle. They like take the fish scraps to it and everything like that. So the Beast of Cheribasco is also known as Oscar the Giant Turtle. The Beast of Cheribasco. So Harris felt that his reputation was being questioned with the people poking fun at his failure to capture the giant beast. So this sought him to continue his endeavors.
Oh, so he's doing it out of spite.
Yeah, he got mad because people were poking fun at him. And like, I can catch a turtle.
Oh, no.
I can catch this turtle. On March 12th, more than 200 people traveled to the Harris farm to watch the search, followed by a bumper-to-bumper traffic crowding the town of Cheribasco en route to Harris's farm. While airplanes buzzed overhead, there wasn't a lot going on in the country at the time, and everybody was really excited to see this giant turtle. All these people were hoping to get a glimpse of the creature now known as Oscar, and it soon became a media crisis. Or media circus, sorry. On March 14th, 3,000 people.
Oh, okay.
Trampled across Harris's property and soon became a media circus and almost impossible to tell the fact or fiction from reports, people making up that they had seen something or any of this. So how do you think? So Harris is upset that his honor is being questioned at his ability to catch a big turtle. And I'm not joking. I mean, so the table, if anybody's watching this, it's like the size of this table, like 5.5 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big turtle. Didn't do anything. And a lot of cryptids we talk about on our show didn't do anything. The Grafton Monster didn't do anything.
He's just there.
And they shot it. They tried to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think he's going to handle this? Mm-hmm. Now he's got a big crowd of people every day, like watching this.
Well composed, well measured approach. I'm sure he's going to take, cause you know, he wants to be certain this time he does get
rational.
Yeah. Rational.
No. Harris and a local garage mechanic named Kenneth, began to develop numerous inventionist traps in their continued efforts to capture the beast.
Okay.
So Harris reportedly created a type of periscope that allowed him to see down into the murky water to try to catch Oscar. So when he was doing this...
Imagine this guy out on
so
his...
he's in a boat. He's in a boat with his homemade periscope. It's... It's the night. What is it? 1948, 1949, 1949. And he's looking down in the water, trying to find this turtle so they can murder it. At this point, they weren't going to murder it. They were just trying to catch it. And they even built a cage beside his house. They're just going to take it out of the pond from one side of his property and put it in a cage on the other side of his property.
Mm.
Thousands of people watching this guy do this. So when it, with a periscope, he accidentally blinded himself in one eye because he looked at the sun.
Oh, that's not good.
So a homemade periscope blinded him in the eye.
Well, shoot, I'm sure
How do you think he handled that?
Yeah, I'm sure people aren't like kind of poking fun at him now.
I mean, yeah, he seems like he's a cool, level-headed guy.
Right.
So yeah, no, it wasn't great. So on March 18th, Harris somehow obtained a complete dive suit. And Woodrow Rigsby was quick to attempt to walk on the bottom of this lake. So they put this guy in the dive suit, Woodrow. They put him in the dive suit in this lake, and it's a weighted dive suit.
Mm-hmm.
In 1949, Harris had found a dive suit in the middle of Indiana.
Nice.
Probably not a great dive suit, I'm going to imagine. They push him in the lake. He supposedly spent 2 hours on the bottom, but he didn't go anywhere. because he sank to his chest in the mud at the bottom of the lake.
Oh, no. And he got stuck?
Yeah.
Did he die?
No, they pulled him out.
Oh, good. Okay.
He's only in like 4 feet of water, but the dive suit's so heavy, he sank into the mud.
Wouldn't they think to pull him up like after 5 minutes?
They were trying. We talked about it when I got stuck in waders.
Oh, okay.
Like the suction is created.
Gotcha.
And they couldn't get him out of the dive suit. Well, because then he would drown. They finally got him out, and he's like, I'm never going back in that water. Nobody else wanted to get in the dive suit for some reason.
Hmm.
So, a third-ish attempt.
It's because the dive suit was 2 center blocks and a bunch of rope.
And plastic, some rubber.
Yeah.
And they had some rubber and a hose.
There you go.
There was a hose. A hose was involved. So, he doesn't take this very well. In April, it appeared that the hunt was over when 2 Indianapolis men had claimed to capture the Beast of Bosco. However, it didn't take long for people to discover that it was a sea turtle that they had purchased, and they drug over to Indiana and claimed it was the Beast of Bosco.
For what, though? Like, what reason? Just to claim that they caught it?
Yeah, just because the whole country was watching this.
Was there a reward involved?
No.
Okay.
And it was just a sea turtle. Now, they just attempted to cash in on the frenzy around Oscar. Sea turtle, however, gave some of an idea, though. It wasn't long before the female sea turtle was brought into the lake in fruitless attempt to lure the Beast of Bosco out of hiding.
Oh, okay. They're gonna find her a girl.
These 2 guys from Indianapolis go down to the ocean. They buy a sea turtle. They drag this big sea turtle back up to Indiana. It's still alive.
And they throw it in this lake.
Well, first they try to claim, like, oh, we caught Bosco. And they're like, that's a sea turtle.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's not Bosco. So Harris is trying to be like, well, maybe we can lure Bosco out with it.
Yeah.
So they tie a rope to this sea turtle, throw it in the lake, and be like, come on. Here's a pretty lady sea turtle for you.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Go figure. Besides, that turtle died.
The whole time during this story, that sea turtle is dead.
For sure.
It did die. The whole time this is happening, there's a crowd of people watching this. News reporters, planes, like every failed attempt this guy's making, he looks more and more like an idiot. And this big turtle is just outsmarting him left and right. There's thousands of people standing around an 8-acre pond.
Yeah, it's not that big.
So people are seeing this turtle all the time.
Yeah.
So what do you think he does next?
Well, does he dredge the pond?
That's coming.
Okay.
So public interest started to fade in May, but the Beast of Bosco continued to evade capture. However, this did not stop Harris, who continued to search for various techniques, including dynamite charges.
Uh-oh.
So Harris goes around, and he's just in this lake, and he is lighting dynamite and just throwing it in the lake.
Hmm.
8 acres. It's not big. Throwing it. And he just bought cases of dynamite. So with this story, when we originally did it, we found the original purchase order of the dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time, you in Indiana, you could buy dynamite, but you had to get, like, I can't remember if it was the sheriff write off. Some local law officer had to write off that you were using it for good things.
I think it was the sheriff, if I remember right.
So he had a purchase order that was signed to up to 400 pounds of dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually don't know how many pounds of dynamite he used, but he had an order to allow him to buy up to 400 pounds.
So we know he had no more than 400 pounds.
I guarantee he bought every ounce of dynamite he was allowed
probably
to at this point, because he'd been making so much fun of. Newspapers around the world were making fun of him for not being able to catch this big turtle. So he's out there throwing the dynamite. Waits, and he's just like, that turtle's dead. It's dead. He comes out of his house the next morning, and on the bank is Bosco just sunbathing.
Well, yeah.
Just relaxing, looking at him, and he crawls right back into the pond.
Just had his whole, probably, ground, everywhere he hangs out, blown to bits.
So, the next thing he does is he gets a 2,000-gallon pump. An industrial water pump. He builds a second pond. His whole thing is he's going to pump the water out of the pond and dump into this new built pond. So Oscar's just stranded.
Right.
And he charged admission to this event because the pump, I think it was around $110,000 in 1949, which is like a little north of $500,000 now.
Yeah, a lot.
So it's a lot of money for this pump. So he starts pumping. The water fades down, and all these thousands of people are there that paid to watch this. Thousands of people. And he's watching. All the water's gone. There's no Bosco. There's no big turtle anywhere.
Uh-oh.
So they're watching, and there were some ducks in the middle. All of a sudden, this massive slew of mud grabbed one of the ducks. It was Bosco. This huge turtle, thousands of people seen it in the middle of the pond, just laying out there. And what they do, they start getting boards. And they start laying boards in the muck, trying to go get Bosco that's trapped. You know, all these men. So all these guys that are working with Harris are focused on this. They're getting boards. Nobody's paying attention to the pump.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.